this is just part of that path. This is just part of that moment, because it's like I look at these moments like sunrise, sunset, and nighttime. Something I like to look at it as like, it's something that I make a decision to do. Like, what am I purpose to do?
Yeah.
Once I identify that, I start really learning and trying to say, okay, I'm going to read a ton of books on communication, on leadership, and apply those things every single day, and also journal those things, that what I did great, what I did terribly, I self-evaluated every single day so that I can reapply or apply something that I've learned new the next day. Yeah. So you deal with all of these conversations, but your gut's saying, ah, man, that's not where you need to be.
No.
And if you got cracks in your self-worth,
yeah,
and you're just throwing all kinds of stuff on top of it,
yeah,
that foundation is not, if you build it out on sand, dude, you know what's happening. We have to be creators of our own story.
But yeah, welcome to another episode of the One Big Head Game podcast. I'm Bo Killingsworth. I'm the host. We got a special guest here today. This guy is special because he is an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur, who's done seemingly a lot of different businesses and has his hands, so to speak, into a lot of different places. But he focuses on one area, and we'll get to that. But I would assume, because I haven't talked to this individual at length in the past, I would assume he has a unique perspective on how to overcome challenges, how to get through different problems in your life and succeed, ultimately. And that's the goal of the podcast. We're trying to give people different perspectives for their life, different things that they can use by looking at this guest story. We can really determine, you know, how to proceed through our life and how to navigate the challenges in our life. So without any further ado, we got Nate Moore of Lafayette or Youngsville.
What Lafayette. Is it? Lafayette.
Of Lafayette. Okay, Lafayette guy. Nate Moore, he is the, well, I don't know all the titles. There's a lot of titles. I did a quick, you know, screen grab of what's going on the internet. He's the president, the CEO, the buck stops with him, with a lot of different businesses, but mainly in the child and early developmental space,
That's
right?
Correct.
Would that be the right category?
Yeah, there's two industries that we focus on. One's early development, childcare, okay. And then the other's healthcare.
Gotcha. So healthcare, okay.
Yeah, those are the two sectors that we focus in and we acquire.
Do you operate healthcare businesses, or do you own the real estate that they use?
We operate healthcare businesses, but we also own a lot of the commercial real estate.
Sure,
that we have.
Sure. Excellent, man. Excellent. Well, thanks for being here. It's good to see you. Why don't we kind of just start with, like, what you're about? I mean, we can talk about your businesses and all that kind of stuff and get into the business stuff.
You want to just ease in here?
Just ease in a little bit. You know, tell them a little bit, like, of what your business journey has been like with your different businesses real quick. Why don't you go through that a little bit?
Okay. So I started real early, actually. Once I graduated high school, I got right into college. I spent my first year doing that. And just was really like, why am I here? Mm. What am I doing here? And I start realizing that a lot of factors of why I was there was not factors or not decisions of my own. It was decisions of what other people thought I should be doing.
Interesting.
And so I said, you know what, I'm going to try something different.
Yeah.
I got a job, sales job, car sales. And
nice.
And that was probably 18 going on 19, and then got into real estate. I bought my first flip property at 19.
Wow.
And started just flipping homes and then buying fourplexes and commercial properties. That led into buying my first business at 22, and I've been acquiring companies ever since.
Yeah. Who told you to start flipping houses? Yeah, that's an early age to start.
It is. You know, so it's funny. This is how I started. When I was 17, there was this little ad or this paper, local paper called The Quick Quarter. And it had business making opportunities in there. So I was just fascinated by what people were trying to sell or whatever. But I also ran across some ads in there about buying houses or flipping houses or whatever the case may be. So I was like, I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, but somebody recommended a book, or I don't know. I don't remember quite, but I read this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
I was 17. I read it from cover to cover.
Yeah.
Same day.
Wow. 17. I wish I'd have read that at 17.
I didn't even put it
down.
I
read it, but I didn't read it. It was years later.
I read it every 10 years now.
That's huge. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
it's life-changing.
It's the fundamental, and we've talked about it on other podcasts. It's like that's the quintessential book to start help you thinking and analyzing what's really going on with money, with owning assets, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the keystone to start that journey, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that was perfect for you. A blessing.
So that's how I got started. I mean, wow. I entered real estate strictly because I paid $10 at the time for that book.
Yeah.
And that book has made me tons of money and plenty of assets from that one book, that $10 purchase.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got started. And then, you know, I was like, you know, in sales, I was like, hey, I like communicating with people. I think I got some leadership ability. I think, I love interacting with people.
Yeah.
And there's some type of thing about me that's unique in how I communicate. So I was like, I want to get into something that I can communicate a little bit more and lead more people. And so I was like, let me get into business for myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how that started.
So were you still selling cars?
Absolutely.
When you were still selling cars when you started that journey? You're about 18, 19 years old at that time. And when did you kind of flip and start the process of becoming the leader that you are today? You know, was it like, you know, 22, 23? How old were you? Pull that mic a little bit away from you. It's a little loud. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. I bought my first property when I was 19, and I was leaving at lunch breaks to go manage the project.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was working 12-hour
just
days.
Hustling, getting done.
I was hustling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but on the sales side, my W-2 job, I was continuing to progress. I was sales, and I got into internet management, and then I got into finance, and then I got into sales management, and then ultimately got into general manager in a very short period of time. So job at 18, 22, I'm a general manager of an RV lot, sales lot.
Yeah.
And so that's really where just the development that happened in that short period of time, reading books, just really developing that skill, deep diving in what are some great things that I possess, some gifts that I have, just trying to discover and identify those things. So it was through that period, that process, that really things begin to, I realized like I want to do something different.
Yeah. Man, what's so impactful about what you're saying is your age that you started that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I mean, would you agree with the business statement that time in business is one of the biggest things?
It
right.
Is.
OK, so for everybody listening out there to get started down that path that early, I mean, you got to look at that as one of your keys to being where you are right now. Obviously, you've been in business probably 15, 16 years,
17 years
since then. Mm-hmm. Since then. Yeah. How incredible, man.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, I agree.
Just starting early, right?
Yeah. And I was 20 years ago, I was a dishwasher.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I was washing dishes. Yeah. So that was my first job, was washing dishes.
Oh, is that right? Where?
Blowing out the parking lot at Praise Jones.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Oh, yeah. I was a dishwasher. And that was 20 years ago. I remind people that I'm like, I'm a 20-year overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, everybody wants to look at what you're doing now and think that you just kind of happened upon it, or you like it just instantly happened, right? Or in the last few years, you scaled up, right? Like, isn't that what people think? You know,
it's the microwave effect.
Yeah. So, how would you characterize your business success over these 15 years? Do you think that, like, because everybody who's in business wants it to happen now, right? Mm-hmm. And yours seems to be just a steady growth throughout your entire process. Was there a hockey stick moment where your business took off, or was it just a gradual making good decisions to get where you are now? You know, was there a point?
It was a gradual.
Okay.
But there was a lot of knots on the head.
Yeah,
along the way.
Like, explain some of those.
A lot of that.
Explain, you know, like a couple of those.
I'll tell you, one of the most craziest moments was just showing up to the house and understanding that your garage door doesn't work whenever your utilities are out. That was one of those things where I just didn't, because every month my utilities were out. Every month my water was disconnected.
At your personal house?
At my personal house.
Okay. When was that?
This is probably 9-10 years ago.
Okay, so that you're deep in the game at that point.
Oh, 100%.
You're a half decade in.
Oh yeah, I'm
okay.
Like,
have you ever been broke throughout
absolutely.
That? Okay, explain that.
Oh, absolutely. And I was the time I was broke. You know.
Yeah.
You know, when you owe people money.
Yeah, yeah.
you can't imagine how much mail they send you. I mean, there's pictures that I've taken that like 1 month worth of just bill collecting mail was up to my chest. And I remember thinking, looking at that picture, I was like man, one day I'm going to laugh at this. One day I'm going to be talking about this. One day it's going to be like, dude, it was all worth it. But at that moment, it was like, holy cow, why are they sending me so much mail?
Yeah.
You know, another crazy thing is that when you're broke and you owe people money, they call you all the time, too.
Oh,
so dude, now my voicemail stays full. I don't even answer a voicemail now.
No, I don't even look at my voicemail.
I know, because
I don't think I owe a lot of people money right at this moment, but I know what that's like. You know what I mean?
I'm like, I don't want to hear their voice. I know I owe money. I got to hustle. I can't spend my time listening to that kind of stuff. I got to hustle so I can pay all you back.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have time to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Have you ever had any of your properties taken back?
None.
That's good. That's the key, right?
My house is on the sheriff's sale.
That's why that old house, don't pay that electricity bill. You got to keep those assets.
That's exactly right. You're pretty smart.
Well, you got to control it. I mean, it's just that's the thing.
I paid the bills for the asset before I paid the bills for my personal.
For sure. And that's what you have to do. That's just a sacrifice, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So you've made many sacrifices.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those sacrifices, man. That's a big one. Letting your personal world go down, your lifestyle, you know, when you're supposed to be big and rich and you own all these properties and all this kind of stuff. The world wants to think like that, you know, you own all these properties, therefore you're, you know, you're living it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is sometimes it's just holding on and getting through all of those storms, right?
Pure survival.
Yeah. Tell us about some of those stories.
Know, there's another thing that, you really get to this place where you think, or people think and assume, when you have something or they perceive you have something, like everything is great.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
I know.
It's not. And another trap is that people want to be perceived as that.
I know.
And that's another trap.
I know.
Yeah. So like I would show up to my house. I would show up
and you know, you want to too. Yeah. We're not immune, absolutely. Man. I mean, you can kick that away. And over time, as you grow, at least that was my experience, you can kick away the feeling of like, I want to be perceived this way. But at the end of the day, like, we all have that inside 100%. Of us. We don't want to be perceived as a ne'er-do-well, you know, loser.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Continue. Sorry.
So I was taking investor money and helping them flip houses while my house was on the sheriff's sale for 28 weeks.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So I'm showing up to my house, you know, and the neighbors are looking outside saying, this dude can't even keep his utilities on.
How did that feel? How did that make you feel? Let's talk about your feelings first.
You know, I was like, this is a pretty weird situation I'm in right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this ain't that good.
Yeah. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, this is not that good. However, I'm like, this is the investment. This is what's required of me for where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
This is just part of that path. This is just part of that moment, because it's like I look at these moments like sunrise, sunset, and nighttime. You don't ever have two nighttimes in a row.
Yeah.
So I was in the nighttime, and I knew that sunrise was coming.
Yeah.
I just had to hold on. I had to survive. I had to figure out. And those little things that I've learned throughout that process, that's really helped me today. So, like, I'm talking to the Slimco lady. Now I got a great relationship with her, because every month we've seen each other. We're meeting each other in the front lawn.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, you can write that check today.
Yeah.
And it's not going to clear for another 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But you write me that check, I'm going to cut your utilities on.
Yeah.
So then it was, to me, it was like, okay, I'm going to write you that check, and I'm going to go figure out how to fund that check now.
Yeah.
So now I'm super focused.
Yeah.
Because I have to.
Yeah.
I have to get those utilities back on.
Yeah.
But it was those little things. It was a little key moments. It's a little, but it was just like, that's just how it was at the moment, you know? And I was so focused on the hustle and the grind. I drove a nice truck. I mean, my tires are freaking slick and bald with wires hanging out. I was rolling on grace and mercy, man.
Yeah.
And people will stop me at the rail like, bam, bam, bam. Hey, man, your tires about to blow.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I can't afford no tires.
Yeah.
So I had to sell the truck. I had one vehicle, and that one vehicle was being chased by the repo man.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's many people won't make that sacrifice.
No. Most people. I wouldn't even say many. I would say most.
Yeah. You know?
That's a testament to what it takes sometimes. Doesn't take that for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. There is people who can gradually do it. If they want what you have in the exact way you did it, it would probably require something like that.
Absolutely. Right?
So what was it like putting your personal feelings about that situation? Did you feel down on yourself at any time throughout that? Did you let that go inward, honestly? Like, did you let it go inward and get into a slump in any case? Sure. Like, when you talk to the Slimco people and you had incentive, you had those pieces of fire that kept you going. Obviously, you succeeded, right? Mm-hmm. But what was it like when you did, if you did, let those demons come into you and your mind in that space? Did you go through any depression? Did it really hit you? Did you have problems mentally through that process?
I didn't.
Okay, that's good.
I didn't. I think, to me, it was what I was saying at the moment.
Yeah.
That kept me going. I honestly felt like I still had some sort of control of what was going on.
Yeah.
It was just part of the process.
Yeah.
I've always looked at it was just part of the process.
Yeah.
So I never got real deep on that because I understood in what I've read and what I've done and the work that I was doing at the time was like, this is just part of the process.
Yeah.
This is what has to happen.
Yeah.
For where I'm headed and where I'm going.
Yeah.
And another thing is
that's really good. That's very important.
Yeah.
If you want to avoid that, at least.
You just got to step back and say, this is just it.
Yeah.
But if people don't understand or know that because they don't read about it, they don't understand, they don't know somebody else's story or testimony, so they don't have anything, no reference point to really back them up on that. For me, I was always observing and curious and listening to people and understanding how people became successful.
Yeah.
And every single one of them has gone through that process. So I looked at it as like, oh, this is a process.
Yeah.
This is just what I have to go through. This is a type of sacrifice I got to do. But another thing is you got to really believe that what you're doing is the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because a lot of people would have quit at that moment. Would have said, you know, sheriff's cell, lights out. I got a little child at home. I got my second child at home, newborn. You know, I can't keep taking
these hits.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And people will say, I'm going to go get a job. And some of the closest people to me told me that. Go get you a job. It's time to go get a job. And I remember looking at that person and saying, nah, man.
Yeah.
Nah. God's called me for greater than this.
Yeah.
And I know where I'm headed. This is just part of the process.
Yeah.
And you just got to believe that this is part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. That's really awesome. What I heard through all of that is you know, your purpose was bigger than all of that, you know, and I don't know, you know, I look at a lot of different people. I watch people's paths because I'm, you know, part of the reason why I started this podcast is so I can learn, so I can hear things like this, because I'm always on a personal journey myself, you know. And that's a common thing, is that if you can get to that purpose and understand that purpose for yourself and really find that North Star, the earlier you do, the better off you are, because you're going to need that to actually withstand all of those external pressures, you know. Without that, like you said, it's very easy to make that quick decision to go do something else or avoid the pain, you know.
Yeah. So when you talk about purpose, so people talk about purpose and they make it where it's something that is extremely hard to discover.
Yeah.
Like there's a huge barrier to entry.
Yeah, please, you tell me, because I need help too.
It's like, I don't like to look at purpose as like something. I like to look at it as like, it's something that I make a decision to do. Like, what am I purpose to do?
Yeah.
You know, so instead of saying like, I have all these, like, I don't have all of these goals and all these, but what I do is, what I do have is desire.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have these deep down wants and desires that are really unique to me that each one of us possess.
Yeah.
And really our goal is not to try to control that. Our goal is not to try to figure out and manipulate behind the scenes. Our goal is to say, keeping that on the forefront of our mindset and saying, everything that I do today is going to be for that purpose alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what I want. It's what I desire. So it starts off money. It's when you're immature and you start off like, I need a lot of money. I want money. I want things.
Yeah, that's
one of the first things. But then it turns into, you know, inwardly focusing on yourself. How can you be the best person in order to share with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so turn from inward, you know, then it turns into, you know, making a bigger impact and inspiring other people or giving things away. So it goes from stuff to yourself to now giving to other people. Mm-hmm. Then for me, I just keep that simple. It's like what I do for a living, it's just a byproduct of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
People have told me that I would not be successful in the childcare industry.
Yeah.
People have told me do not get in the healthcare business.
Yeah.
The two businesses that people have always told me nobody makes money in those industries. It's the two industries that I make money in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because of who I was and what I was purposed to do. And my whole purpose was I wanted to create as many opportunities for people that otherwise wouldn't have those opportunities presented to them. Yeah. So that was my drive. It was simple, but it was my drive. It's what I desired. It's what I wanted. And that's what I was purposed to do.
Yeah. So what about those industries fit perfectly in that mold for you?
Those industries are one of the most labor intense industries.
Yeah.
So they only operate based and centered around service and people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's all leadership and how you communicate and how you handle tough, extreme communications, which is what I found I was great at. You know, and so once I identified that, I start really learning and trying to say, okay, I'm going to read a ton of books on communication, on leadership, and apply those things every single day, and also journal those things that what I did great, what I did terribly. I self-evaluated every single day so that I can reapply or apply something that I've learned new the next day. And it's like a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, it really helped me gain more confidence. People start sensing that. People start listening. And I became a person to be that was fit to lead other people. That people saw that I'm fit to lead them because of the investment that I made and did for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So was there, did you look at that industry? How did you find out about that industry throughout your business process?
Yeah. It was a phone call. Like, so somebody, I called a broker and I said, a business broker that I learned in the newspaper, you know, the Quick Quarter. And I said, hey, I just picked up the phone and called because it says, hey, buy or sell businesses confidentially. I'm like, that's interesting. I want to see what that's all about. So I called him.
Yeah.
And at the time I was, you know, when I was looking to pull the trigger, I was 22, but I told him, I said, at this point, I've already turned a company around that I was working for. So I knew that I can turn things around. And so the thing I told the broker was, hey, I don't care what industry it is. I want send me a business that's financially struggling, that really nobody wants, and that's the business I want.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, everybody wants those, the ones that they don't have to put a lot of money down, the ones that they can get in for cheap and blah, 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 blah. It's like, now that I told you this, you'll be calling me about something like that. Sure enough. About 2 or 3 weeks later, he calls me and says, man, I got this daycare deal.
Yeah.
I want you to go check it out. You know, here's the situation with it, distress, whatever the case may be. And that's how I got into the business. So I went check it out and said, this is freaking cool. I've never been in daycare before. But once I went there and toured the facility, I was thinking,
I can do this.
I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. That's how I got in.
When was the first one? Like, how long ago was that? Like, how long have you been in that business? 16?
16 years ago. 17 years ago.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if the 17 was like the real estate and stuff, the stuff you were doing before then.
Yeah, no, that's 17 years business. Purchasing my first business was 17 years ago.
Did you purchase that with cash or did you have a loan to do that? What was that like, your first business purchase?
Yeah.
That was your first business purchase, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Business was $150,000. I negotiated down to $15,000.
Up front? And then, or is that it?
That was it.
Did it have any real estate with it?
No real estate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had a ton of IRS debt. It had liens on it. It had every smelly thing you can have.
Yeah.
It was a bad situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so what was that like, jumping into there? They had an existing staff? Was it a smaller facility?
The staff was all family. So they really didn't have a business, and that's how I negotiated it down. It's like, hey, look,
these people aren't going to stay with you.
I'm buying your FF&E at this point.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You don't have a business. I mean, everybody works for you. That's just family.
Yeah, they ain't staying around.
Yeah, when you leave, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And none of these people were qualified. It's not who I want to hire anyway. So
yeah,
you don't have a business. I'll pay you for what you have in the building.
Yeah, your equipment.
And she accepted that.
Wow.
And that's how I got started. And that's IRS, and people are like, well, what happened with the IRS? Well, I mean, the IRS, I didn't do the IRS wrong. The IRS followed her and her Social Security number and her EIN number. It didn't follow mine. I'm a new business.
Yeah.
And so
that was an asset purchase.
That's right.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I took it. I took over the assets, mm-hmm. and everything else that was terrible about the business went with them, and I started new, rebranded.
Yeah. Excellent. That's awesome. So you started that, and then how long was it until you were like, okay, let's expand this? Like, you got that one up and running, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then was it like a year later or 2 years?
It was probably about a year and a half to 2 years.
Okay.
I jumped ship from my job and went full-time into the daycare center.
Okay, so you bought this daycare center while you were still selling cars, or you were the GM at an RV place?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You want to hear something more cool?
Yeah, I definitely do. I definitely do, dude.
So the real estate that I owned was not making money.
Yeah, okay. Not flowing.
Yeah.
But you were holding on to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The daycare is not making money.
Yeah.
In 2007.
Oh, yeah.
The crash.
Oh, yeah, that hurt, probably.
Not many people buying RVs.
Yeah, yeah, nobody's buying anything.
So I see the writing on the wall, and I say, you know what? If I help turn this RV lot around, and I worked all these hours for this, I'm going to do it for myself. I'm going to turn this daycare around.
Yeah.
So I literally quit.
Yeah.
With negative cash flow of income.
Yeah, yeah. How much did you have saved? Did you have a bunch of cash? What was it?
How much you think I had? You got it.
If I had to guess. Nothing. Okay. I figured maybe like 10 grand or something.
No, I had nothing.
Okay, so you didn't have anything? Did you own your house, like, outright?
No.
Okay, so you had bills coming in. What was your lifestyle like at that exact moment, like financially?
When I jumped ship, dude, I was in the hospital having my second child.
Okay.
I had no health insurance.
Okay.
I had no running water.
Okay.
And I had no utilities at home.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But what I did was I called the mortgage and I said, hey, I don't have no money.
Yeah.
And I can't pay you.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a check next month.
Yeah.
So we got to work something else out.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, this forbearance. So there's a whole process with that.
Yeah.
So I was working.
You're like, okay, I got 3-4 months.
That's
there.
Right. So I got a little something there.
You know? Dude, this is wild, man. Yeah. This is how old were you? 23?
I was 23.
23?
22, 23.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, 20. I was 20.
23, 24.
Yeah.
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 Two kids, wife, house. That you can't pay, or you can, but you got a plan and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can't pay.
Yeah. I'm just thinking so much because I really want to understand, because this decision here, this one you made here, mm-hmm. this is probably the most important one you made.
100%.
Okay, I'm right. All right.
No, yeah, you're right on.
So, okay, what kind of car did you have? You had a car. You had a note on it?
Both of them had notes on it.
Okay, you and your wife?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So she drove a 4Runner.
Okay.
And I drove a Ford F-150.
Okay.
And so I bought the 4Runner. So she had a brand new 4Runner.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do that for the wife,
oh,
right?
Yeah. She's got to ride around the style.
My wife drives a Mercedes.
Those little bumpkins, you know?
I got a Toyota. My wife's got a...
So I had the F-150. Both of them had notes on it.
Yeah.
The Toyota was, I couldn't make the payments on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I was making the payments on the truck because I also got into construction.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to have all these LLCs out because I got to figure out how to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So not only am I working in the daycare center, and not only am I the janitor there, the cook, a teacher there, I was still flipping houses. People were hiring me to also remodel their homes and redesign their homes.
I want to get back to that moment for a second, but it just hit me. Okay, at that exact moment, regardless of this big decision that we're going to really get into,
mm-hmm.
You were doing many different things,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay? For me personally, in the past, I've done many different things too. You know, I have a law firm. I have some clients there, have construction projects. I consult with other construction companies. I hold licenses I have a lot of relationships, you know, this and that. Sometimes I feel like I'm so spread out that I'm not being effective in any one area. Did you ever have that feeling with what you were doing, or were you of the opinion that you just needed to go full steam ahead on all fronts? How did you deal with that, or did it even cross your mind?
So at the beginning, it didn't even cross my mind.
You just went. Well, you were young, too.
That's right.
That's the benefit of that.
That's right. I have to open up more businesses and create more streams of income and revenue so that I can stay afloat. It was my philosophy. Mm-hmm. The problem was is that I was only given maybe 20% to each one of those things that I opened up.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean,
that's the facts.
You give 20% on anything you do, you're not going to get a really good return.
Facts.
You know, so I was given 20% on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. That little ship came to a screeching halt.
Yeah, on all fronts, basically.
On all fronts. I'm like,
okay, wait, let's stop. We've gotten too far away from that decision, and it's going to be hard for the listener.
This is a lot.
So let's go back to that decision. You got no money. You've decided to quit your job. Okay, you quit your job with no money or no income coming in or no real clear sight of income. You've got car payments. You've got a mortgage. You've got utilities. You've got a new child at home that needs diapers, and you've already got an existing kid there. I don't know, maybe he or she is 2 or 3 years old at that point. Mm-hmm. So you've got two kids. This is a decision that a lot of people would say you're out of your dang mind. Uh-oh. For sure. That's one that even I'm like, I don't know if I could make that decision.
Up until I was crazy.
I don't doubt that. I'm kind of telling you you're crazy right now. You mm-hmm. are. But there's a big but there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the but is, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. You know, you burn the ships, buddy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
There's no going back.
You did. And you burned it in a pretty dramatic way, if everything that I'm understanding is accurate. Mm-hmm. And it is.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, man, how did you do that?
I would love to sit here how and take did you all do the that, credit dude? For it.
No, well, I don't care if you take – how did that decision get made? How did it get made?
I was confident that in my ability –
that's a lot of confidence it takes. Why were you that confident?
I was confident, but I also was humbled by it all as well.
Yeah.
So the confidence was is because my current job, I had turned this dealership around from a $264,000 loss to a $40,000 win, mm-hmm. you know, in a year. Mm-hmm. So, and because of everything that I've learned up until that point of how to negotiate, just leadership, just business structure, just all the things that I've, because I'm a big learner.
Yeah.
And so I was just pounding books at the time. I just felt like I can do the same thing in my life, but I knew it was going to get tough.
Did you think about what would happen if you didn't do that? Or was that even
never
a
even
thing?
Came up.
Gotcha.
It never occurred to me.
I'm sure it occurred to your wife a little bit.
100%.
No. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she had something
to say
about
that.
She
was the one looking at me saying, it's time to go get a job, babe.
And you can't blame her, right? We all want our spouse to unconditionally support us in everything that we do, right? Like, that's the key, you know, who you choose, whatever, you know?
She was being mom.
Yeah.
Well, we got some kids.
I got to pay for these diapers.
That's right.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, like, the decisions you're making right now is kind of squirrely. We got a family. And she's looking at it from a completely different mindset and perspective, which is the right one, which is, we got a family. I'm the mother of these children. I have to make sure that these children have what they need.
Yeah.
And so she's coming from that approach saying, and to think about her mentality, like, I got to now talk to him about that. Whenever she's looking at me saying, this guy is freaking going to work here.
Yeah.
But she's now got to say, I got to go talk to this guy and say, you got to go get your job now, man. This is not working out. This is bad. This is not good. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I understood her position extremely clear.
For sure.
But I remember looking at her and I said, that this is not what God has called me to do, is to go get a job.
Yeah.
And I actually interviewed on a couple of different jobs and could not get hired. All I got was, you're too overqualified. You're too overqualified. And I was like, all right, I tried. I'm rolling right now. I'm not. It's no stopping. But here's the point that changed everything.
Okay.
The point that changed everything was, like, everything is crashing in at this time. It's like, I owe all this money. I'm out of excuse. At the time, the house has been on the market, you know, for a year, and it's just a lot happening. Like, the story has just gotten. It's just the crazy got more crazy. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I stopped thinking and I got on my knees is what happened. And I said, God, if this is what you will have me to do, if I'm on the right path, I'm going to need some things to change. Mm-hmm. But I'm submitting to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I've tried. I got 17 LLCs. None of them make money. I'm at the end of what I thought I knew. Mm-hmm. I'm at the end of what I thought I could control. Mm-hmm. I need you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Bo, it wasn't 24 hours later things start changing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just wicked clear. I meet this guy. He works for the bank, you know, that I could not get to anybody at that bank to get my house back in order. And at this time, I started making some more money. I just couldn't afford everything I had. So I was able to keep the assets. But it was like, now I just need a little bit more time before I lose this house, you know. So he makes one phone call. Within an hour, everything's rectified. It's off the sheriff's sale. I'm like, how did this happen? I've been struggling to do this for a year now.
Yeah.
So that changed, you know. So then, you know, maybe it's not the utilities off every month. Maybe it's just the water, you know. Maybe it's not. So things start slowly climbing out as the business, as I begin to focus on, at the time was a daycare business. And I feel like so many people try to plant so many oak trees, but you need one oak tree and you need limbs on that tree. So don't go spend it all. And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to go spread and spend all this money on these trees and open up new businesses when all I needed to do was focus on the business that God originally blessed me with, which was the daycare business. And the moment I focused on that business, things began to change.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting, man. And that you segued into where we left off pretty brilliantly, I would say, right where we were talking about being spread out, you know, mm-hmm. what the effect of that mm-hmm. is. Because at the end of the day, we as business people want to believe that we can go 100% in five areas. You know, we're like, mm-hmm. we can do it, you mm-hmm. know, but it's just not true. You have one person, one level of energy every day that you can bring to things, one mind. And if you're spreading that between so many different things, it just, there is consequences to it. And I've learned that too.
Easy to do, right? I mean, when
oh, yeah.
most business people 100%. Are, they have this inner thing that they know they're good at things. They're good. Yeah. They're just naturally good at certain things. They mm-hmm. can't explain it. Mm-hmm. They get into sports and middle school and high school, like, oh, I'm naturally good. I'm obviously more coordinated than this person. And you start observing and realizing those things. And you think you can apply that in business. Mm-hmm. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true. You can't apply that in 17 different businesses.
Yeah.
You're not going to be good at all of them. Yeah. I don't care. But you can be good at one or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that is the key, is that people give up way too early because, number one, hardship. Number two, they think they have to deal with themselves, that the feeling of I'm no longer good for this type of business, this type. They're handed a loss that they haven't been handed in a very long time.
Yeah.
They're handed a reality that they have not been handed in a very long time. And so what comes with that is like, all right, I don't know how to move far from that. I got not a lot of experience in that.
Yeah.
And I got smacked in the face because I knew I was naturally good at a lot of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
But at this point, I could not explain why I couldn't make this work. Mm. I was at the end. Mm. And my gut feeling is saying, dude, you need to focus on the thing that I blessed you with. Mm-hmm. And that's when the moment changed. It's like I poured everything. So I took all the 20% that I was giving to all these other businesses, and I said, I'm going to pour it into this one. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, I started creating a process that we operate today in the several locations that we have, you know. And a lot of that stuff happened by me pouring myself into that business, learning the business, observing, checking out competition, identifying what's good practices, bad practices, creating, and now new ideas are coming for this new business, applying those new ideas and seeing the business grow because I decided to focus. So when people tell me they got all these things going on, I am never impressed by that because I was there.
Yeah.
And all I can think about is not all of them are working, but you're going to make it seem like they are, but it ain't all working. I know it ain't all working.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the same thing. Dude, I've been through that, and I've kind of like this last year, I would say this last probably 12 months, you know, like it took me a long time to kind of find my way. And I've been in business for myself for probably 9 years. not a W-2 job situation. Mm-hmm. But most of those times I didn't have any money, because I was just trying to find my way and figure out, what my path was, because I did have those things where I'm very good at a lot of things. And I thought, hey, I can succeed with this, but I can do this too, mm-hmm. And then people say like the attorney thing I told you a moment ago, like every time I say, that I'm an attorney, everybody's interested in that. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to know what kind of law I practice and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the answer is I've made a conscious decision that that's really not an area that I want to play in. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's very hard because everybody seems to want me to play in that, or mm-hmm. they there's external factors going in. And then you went to school for all that time to do that. And it's like, but it's not really my path. For some reason, it's mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. And took me a long time to kind of make the decision to actually steer away from it and not keep it out there. Like, yeah, I do that too. Mm-hmm. Like I've had those ideas, and this is probably something that your opinion on would be pretty valuable, is like having your identity wrapped up in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at your business, Little Blessings or any of your childcare facilities, anything like that, probably the wrong move for your business would be to identify you as a person or gaining your identity through the success or how these things are working out for you.
Absolutely.
Like, wouldn't that be, because I've done that and I found that held me back for a long time.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And that's one of those traps, right?
It's a trap for sure. I battle it every day, man. It's hard.
I think, a lot of times we can underestimate our gut as well. Our gut is extremely, spot on.
Yeah.
And that's that inner thing that we got going on that we know that it's there.
Yeah.
It's speaking to us, like you're talking about, when people always want you to play in a space seem to play in a space of being an attorney.
Yeah.
It's like your gut feeling knows that, I probably shouldn't be in this space, man. But I made this commitment. I've made all this investment.
Yes.
People think I should be in that. People perceive me to be successful in that. Yeah. So you deal with all of these conversations, but your gut's saying, man, that's not where you need to be.
No.
This is where you need to be. And a lot of times we don't listen to that gut feeling. We go through all the trials, circumstances, all the challenges. But it's really that gut feeling.
Yes.
And the other thing is it's a scary place to have your identity wrapped up in what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Because when what you do starts taking some shots, dude, your armor is down.
Yeah.
And those shots that they're taking at your business is penetrating that heart.
And you take it personal.
You take it personal.
That's the thing.
And people are always saying things. People are always judged. They're going to be judgmental. They're going to be some jealousy in there. There's going to be shade thrown. There's going to all be those things. Mm-hmm. But when you identify what it is that you do it for, and the things that what you've created or helped create is impacting other people, it's like the people in the stands are always going to talk, but the people in the field are the ones that are really experiencing what's really happening.
Yeah.
And people that are closest to the field can hear what's actually happening, the truth. But people that are further away, all they're doing is making speculations, man. When you're at the top of the stage, you don't know what the coach is saying.
No.
You don't know. You don't even know what the cheerleaders are saying.
No.
Everything just looks like a show. Yeah. And so those people can only make opinions based on speculation.
Yeah.
Not off of real fact. And when I understood that, these people just making these conversations, they're talking about me. They should be talking about me. I'm going to give them some good reasons to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I've pivoted. It's like, I'm not going to identify myself, or my identity is not going to be caught up in the success of a business or the failure of a business or the challenge of a business. Really, it's just focusing on me, investing on me, and then applying and also giving to those businesses my best self.
Yeah.
And sharing that with other people to create for them an opportunity to be their best self. And now you impact tons of people by just investing in yourself and then giving that away.
Yeah. 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 It's very interesting. And that's very good advice. It takes a while to determine, to figure that out for a lot of people, mm-hmm. for most people, I would say. Took me a long time, and to the level that you're talking about it, I may not even be there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To be honest with you. But the point is, you know, we have to every day remind ourselves of all of those things.
Yeah.
And put ourselves around those kind of people who know those things. Because what you just said is a fact. Like, understanding that other people's opinion of you, what you're doing, things like that, it really shouldn't affect what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, their opinion doesn't actually matter at the end of the day.
Doesn't.
Right? And most people know that, but it's so hard for people to grasp, you know? Would you say that the quickest way to start believing that, to understand that, to live that, would be to surround yourself with people who know that? Mm-hmm. It's hard to just, like, will that to the top, right? Unless you have some serious experiences that you can draw from. Right. We can either draw from our own experiences, like I did this, and other people's opinion and what they thought about it didn't matter. So I know that it doesn't matter. You can either will that from within, or you can just surround yourself with people who constantly think that way. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
The first step is, like, you are getting it and gaining that from other people, because if you haven't spent a lot of time with yourself, or you haven't gone down that path to discover who you are.
Yeah.
Which is a scary place, mind you.
Yeah.
It's a scary place to be.
For sure.
But if you haven't done that and you haven't identified that, then the best next thing is, who are the people that are around you and what are they saying about you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So you start grasping for that kind of stuff. And that's that inner desire that we know, that this inner thing that we need to satisfy, because we need it. We're looking for it. But we're trying to find it in areas that we shouldn't find it in.
It's traps.
So yeah. That can be in all kinds of things, you know, but it does start with people. And if you're surrounded by the wrong people and they tell you the wrong things, dude, that just puts you in a bigger hole.
Yeah. At this time in your life, when you made that decision to go all in and burn the ships, I'm going to call that like a pivotal moment in your life. Were you surrounding yourself with different people at that time?
I was.
Did you have some good mentors? What was that like as far as the outside people?
Some mentors I didn't have for, I probably had my first mentor several years ago.
Yeah.
So when I was going through all of this type of stuff, I kind of isolated.
Okay.
And really focused in on me.
Okay.
I really just focused in on what I was doing. I had enough to focus. I had enough to look at enough things. And I was actually mentoring other people and how to flip houses.
Yeah.
So I was providing people with information of how to flip houses, which they were being successful in. However, I was struggling, like still financially, just absolutely struggling. But for me, I've always turned inward of saying, I'm super observant and I want to know, like, what am I doing? You know, like, are the things that I'm doing, did it work today? So I was being extremely intentional every single day. And spending time before the day even started, before anybody else woke up, I was challenging myself and I was asking myself the tough questions.
Yeah.
What did you do yesterday that worked? What did you do that didn't work? What do you know that's not working right now?
Yeah.
And when you're faced with some of the toughest times in your life, you're the most creative.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that too.
You're the most creative. Mm-hmm. And so people avoid that space where now, somebody asked me the other day, like, I'm like, every minute of my life is a crisis. If somebody just followed me around, there's probably 10 things in one day that will cause common people to quit.
Yeah.
Like, it's the fact of life to think that it gets easy or it's easy or it's, that's an illusion. It is an illusion. You know, I have 18 companies under management right now.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And even if there is only one problem a day, that's 18.
That's 18. Yeah. You know? And there's hundreds upon hundreds of people that I employ.
Yeah.
So if I had to take the mindset, I'm just going to sit down and wonder what all the possibilities of what could go wrong. I can go down a path that is not cool.
Yeah.
But if I can wake up in the morning and become intentional about what I want and what I desire for the day and what I expect of the day and what I envision the day is going to happen, how it's going to go down and play out, and how do I show up to the party, everything falls into place.
Yeah.
It's like, because I'm mentally ready for those things before they happen, because I know that they're going to happen. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
It's my job to prepare myself for those moments.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, it's like, I didn't have a lot of mentors, but I never took, like, I was a big reader. Like, I was observing, I was learning, I was watching other people that were in my industry or in my doing the same thing I was doing. I was learning what they were doing. People that were successful, I was learning what they were doing. What were their pros, their cons? What were they, where did they win at? How did they win? What was their struggles? I was learning all of these things, and I was trying to apply it into my own life. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to be the mentor. Now I want to be the mentor to somebody else that I never had. Mm-hmm. You know, so in that moment, I was like, I don't have a choice. There's no other choice for me. I have to dig in and I have to focus because the people around me said, you're crazy, dude. Like, you should not be doing this. You're crazy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't have the – I wasn't in a room where, I'm in a room with a bunch of great people that could help me out. At the time, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
But what I did have was I could be intentional. I could make decisions. How do I show up? What is my philosophy? How do I see life? What are my values? And really just digging into that kind of stuff and applying that stuff every day.
Yeah. Yeah. At what point, I was just checking the cameras out. At what point in this journey did you or have you felt like, okay, I'm past the super crisis, you know, I have achieved something here, and it doesn't sound like you ever, you know, kind of took your foot off the gas pedal, so to speak, the whole time, just been gradually growing with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But certainly there was a point where you kind of sat back and you said, okay, I've survived and things are good. You know, how many years, time period, whatever was that? Or did you always maintain the exact same attitude the entire way through? I mean, what was that like?
I got the same philosophy now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Business is good.
Yeah.
There's no questions about it. Business is absolutely great.
Yeah.
But I still operate the mindset like this can fall apart today.
Yeah. And that's really the truth.
Yeah. It can unravel today.
Yeah.
You know, what you think you have can, I've seen it come to a screeching halt before.
Yeah.
So I'm just extremely grateful for what I do have.
Yeah.
And I just apply every day. There's new things that I apply every day. I don't show up and not one day I show up and say, oh yeah, I've made it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
No, that's a dangerous place to be.
It is.
It is dangerous. That mindset is dangerous.
Yeah, for sure.
I wake up every day with discipline. I'm running. I'm working out. I'm challenging my mind. I'm taking some time to myself. Like, I am preparing before the normal person wakes up.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. I have to do that because I have a lot going on and I got a lot where I'm going.
Yeah.
And so I cannot take my foot off the gas because there may be a key player in my organization. One of my executives can lose faith. Mm-hmm. And start questioning me. And I got to be strong for that executive. Yeah. I got to be strong. I got to be able to carry that vision for the people that are following me and mm-hmm. the families that I'm impacting. So I cannot take my foot off the gas. I cannot. I don't bring myself to the place to say, well, I made it, man.
Like, yeah.
I'm solid now. I'm good. I'm safe.
Yeah.
Because at any time that boat can burn, that ship can burn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And things can change immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, we kind of touched a lot of things, you know. But what do you think? One of your characteristics inside of yourself gave you the ability to get through what you're getting through. What early in your childhood that you look at gives you evidence that, okay, I might just be this type of person that can do this way?
Such a good question, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I used to look at myself in the mirror. So this is how it would be years ago.
I like that you said that's a good question. I'm trying to get good at these things.
Dude, that is like, that's a perfect question.
Nice.
Because in high school or middle school and high school, I always identified as shy.
Yeah.
So I was like the shy kid. I would tell myself, I mean,
I think I read that on an article.
Oh, yeah.
Like 15 minutes before you came in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was one of my X factors right there. I was absolutely shy. I mean, I was so shy. I remember, like, when in seventh grade, whenever you got to get up and you got to go take your, you know, your tray to dump, you know, and
in
the lunchroom. And I just felt like everybody was, like, looking at me. Like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So you start thinking about yourself. Yeah. Like, oh, my God, man, you know. Yeah. So, and shyness is learned. It's a learned behavior. Somebody tells you that you're that. You don't just learn that you're shy. Right. Somebody told me that I was shy, and I identified with that.
It stuck.
It stayed. And so that carried me into high school. So what happened was is that when I was a sophomore, I've never played sports before that. So I'm lunchtime and a coach walks up, says, "Hey, we're gonna have some, you know, receiver practice later on. You look like you got great height and you got great speed. Why don't you come out?" Mm-hmm. Okay, that's how that started. It's like, okay, this guy saw something in me.
Yeah.
So I was like, So then I get out there and I'm actually can catch the football and I'm actually doing okay. I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. So that kind of built some things up. Then it's like I was prom king in high school.
Yeah.
How does a shy guy
become
– I was not the stud athlete. Mm-hmm. How does people know about me in order to vote for me? Mm-hmm. And I've only been to one dance because growing up, we couldn't go to dances for religious purposes. So I've not been to a dance.
Yeah.
That was one of those next moments. It's like, wow, somebody saw something in me, enough in me. There's something about me that somebody saw that they would vote for me and that I would be prom king. Like, that was one of those moments, you know? Or it's like, you know, I read this one book that said, ask some of the people that are around you, friends of your church or whatever that know you, like, what are you really great at?
Yeah.
What is it about you that makes you really great? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those responses came back that the way that I communicate, I simplify really difficult situations or conversations and simplify them in a way that people can understand them. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, okay. But the whole time I'm looking in the mirror saying, are you really that guy?
Yeah.
Can you really achieve all these things that you know that's inside of you? Like, so I would literally brush my teeth and be like, I don't know if I'm that guy, but yeah. Am I?
Yeah.
But then it turned into like, man, you're that guy. Mm-hmm. You're that guy that people look up to. You're that guy that people that you can inspire other people and impact other people, make change in really difficult situations. You're that guy. So once I start believing that, it's like, now I got to start perfecting that gift. I got to start adding to that gift. I got to start learning more. I got to start growing. And that was kind of like how that started for me. It was never like I had that it factor where I know I was it. I didn't know. And as I start growing and learning and these different scenarios in life start happening, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I am it. Maybe I am that guy. Maybe I possess some skills that can change some other people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, it's funny as what happens in your childhood, how it really does affect, you know, your trajectory. I mean, that's you've had to learn a lot about that in your business, I'm sure, mm-hmm. right? And childcare, things like that.
Oh, yeah. We're an extension of our childhood.
Yeah.
All of us are.
Yeah.
And we got to face that one day.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are still operating the same blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that same foundation.
Yeah.
And until they rock that thing and shake that thing up and crush that thing and start setting new blueprints and ideas and who they are.
Yeah.
They're just an extension of their childhood.
Yeah. And what happens in your childhood doesn't have to define your story.
It doesn't.
Right.
We have to be creators of our own story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And either we choose to do that on our own or life's going to throw us some things that are going to make us make some decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those tough times, those tough moments, those losing of the job that you had your identity or the whole time you built your career and then you lose your job or something happens, a company closes or something happens.
Yeah.
You're forced to deal with that identity.
Yeah.
You're forced to deal with that blueprint. You're forced to deal with, hey, I've been hiding for this long and it's been working out, but that's not working out right now. I got to deal with self.
Yeah.
Either you do that on your own or life's going to hand it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly will it, won't it? I mean, it's like you can avoid those, and I would say those pivotal moments in everybody's life. Like, it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, life happens. Mm-hmm. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be things happen that you don't want to happen. There's going to be, you know, you're going to lose money or you're going to lose the ability to make money or your wife's going to do this or that or your kids or anything, and life's going to demand that choice from you. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, in my personal experience, the problem that many people have is that they refuse that choice. They refuse to make that choice, mm-hmm. you know, and they let the choice pass them by, mm-hmm. and they maintain the status quo. And as a consequence, their life turns out not as great as it could be, you know, if they mm-hmm. don't make that decision for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Big decisions. Mm-hmm. Decisions, you know?
So a lot of our self-worth is defined by our childhood. So we develop that.
Yeah.
And I don't care which way this conversation goes or what you have heard or whatever the case may be, everything is built upon self-worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
And if you got cracks in your self-worth.
Yeah.
And you're just throwing all kinds of stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
That foundation is not, if you build it out on sand, dude, you know what's happening.
Yeah. So how did you build your self-worth, and did you have it as a child?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. All I knew was that, like, my mom would tell me, there's something different about you. Or,
okay.
I was playing on the playground by myself. I wasn't always the most popular kid or they'll call me, my nickname in middle school was Urkel because I wore glasses and all this other stuff. And
interesting.
So I had all of these different things that people said about me, but there was also some things that people recognized about me that separated me from other people.
Did you perceive that as a kid as a negative thing? You didn't fit in? Negative or positive? It has to be negative, right?
Negative.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like, it was funny at the time, but it wasn't funny to me. It was funny to everybody
else. Ha, ha, ha. But inside, it's like, what am I going to do with this thing that God gave me? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And so I didn't have that.
How did you build it? How do you think that happened for you? You've built it now. It's very evident. I take you at your word. I see what you're doing. And you have a lot of that. You can tell by the way you speak. You have conviction when you speak. When did that happen?
I was 27. And I started playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
Acting like I was retired, you know. Like, yeah. I then made it. I'm living in this beautiful house on the golf course, right. You know, and I'm playing golf and I'm looking around and I'm saying, there's a lot of old people I'm playing with right now. They're at the end of their career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 27 years old. I got a lot more left in me. What should I be doing? And that question I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
Because business was pretty good at the time. I had maybe two or three locations, you know. And because of my history with my bad payments and credit, I could only lease the house. And so I structured it in a way, negotiated, because at this point I'm a master negotiator. So I can negotiate into any deal I want. So I get into this house, I negotiate this deal, but I'm renting the house. And I'm acting like I've made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but there was this moment, I remember I was on the 16th green, and I'm looking around and I'm saying, I'm looking at the house that I'm living in on the 16th green. I'm looking at people I'm playing with, and I'm saying, what am I doing? Like, my worth was what I was able to perceive I built.
Mm-hmm.
But it really didn't mean anything to me at the time. I knew it. Like, it was my inner gut. Like, what am I doing? You know, like, this ain't, I'm not really making a real impact here, you know? And so that started a journey of me of really diving into, like, personal development, like listening to podcasts and YouTube videos and really trying to identify what all that means. Why am I going through this? And then I went to a Tony Robbins event.
Yeah.
And it rocked me.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, holy cow, I was completely rocked. Like,
yeah.
Like the childhood story and this, you know, and what I thought I told myself that I thought was true was really not true. If I was honest with myself in the mirror. So when I started getting honest with myself, I'm like, and I started spending time by myself, I was like, I can't answer a lot of these questions.
Mm.
But to people out there, those questions have already been answered.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I got a list of unanswered questions. And I was like, I'm going to deal with that. I'm just going to face it. I'm going to deal with that. And so I really started spending a lot of time with myself. I started spending a lot of time in journaling and identifying, trying to answer those questions and start to rebuild my blueprint. But learning from other people through books and podcasts, because I found that the more people I talked to about that, they had their own opinion. And I didn't need an opinion at the time. Mm-hmm. What I needed was, I needed some factual, some truth that I can learn and apply, and I can just really meditate on, like, what was happening. Mm. But once you start identifying how God sees you and what he sees as your self-worth, that's the foundation you need right there. Mm. Yeah. That's the one you need. Like, you can go do all of this personal development work, but at the core of it all, it's like, it's built upon what God says you are. Mm-hmm. That's the best book to describe what your self-worth is. He'll tell you exactly what he thinks about you.
That's right.
And how he created you and what he created you for.
Yeah.
So a lot of those questions, that the traps that are out there in the world, that right there is the root ball.
Yeah.
And then you start growing from there and applying. And that's the things that I was very intentional on. It's like, Nate, what is your philosophy for people in general? Nate, what is your philosophy of how you want to show up? Nate, what is your philosophy of what you want to be known for? Nate, you know, do you believe that everybody deserves a greeting? Do you believe, like, I start really identifying, because that's the work that I needed to do. Now I knew what God said I was and who I was and what he sees of me, which is the ultimate supreme and root ball. But now it's like, internally or intentionally, I have to now decide, who is Nate going to decide to be every single day? And I have not stopped doing that since I was 27 years old.
Yeah.
I still wake up, dude, every morning. Yeah. I'm going to go do something active. I'm going to challenge myself in a way. I'm going to listen to a book. I'm going to listen to something. I'm going to be reading something. I'm going to be challenging myself. I'm going to be journaling. I'm like, I'm self-evaluating every single day of who does Nate say and who does Nate want to be every single day. Super intentional about that every day. And that has helped continue to develop my self-worth. That has helped continue. It's always a work. It's a work. You don't just make it. You can become better than who you are today.
It's a practice.
It's a practice, and it's a process, and you just keep committing to it every day. You don't ever just make it. But people that have some self-worth issues, they fight towards that. I want to just make it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, something I notice in some people that maybe they get a financial windfall. You know, I'm in an industry where that happens, mm-hmm. you know, in a big way sometimes. Mm-hmm. And to see people latch on to that and develop an identity of success and like fulfillment from that makes me uneasy. Mm-hmm. It makes me uneasy, you know, mm-hmm. for that person, you know, mm-hmm. because I've experienced it to a certain degree. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's an illusion. You know?
It's an illusion.
It's an illusion. Man, that's such good stuff. You know, while you were saying that last monologue there, what I was really thinking about is that it's so funny because full circle, you know, you going to podcasts, you going to different informative content to try to find yourself and really rebuild that blueprint, you know, you are definitely doing that right now for mm-hmm. someone else. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know you do speaking engagements. You're a successful guy, everything like that. But we're here in this moment. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool, man. That's really interesting.
So you asked the question. So why would you come on this podcast with me?
Yeah, with me. Yeah.
Why? With all the podcasts that I've done over the years, all the speaking engagements, like, it's because for me, it means just as much for me to give that stuff away because I don't own it.
Yeah.
I was just lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
And blessed to be able to acquire so much information and apply those things.
Yeah.
And I just feel this inner obligation or responsibility to give it away.
Yeah.
And so when I was charging for coaching, I felt so bad about it.
Yeah. I know how you feel.
I just felt bad about it. I'm selling something that I don't own.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I'm
glad you said that.
I'm really
glad
you said that. I don't own. So it's like,
I'm glad you said that.
So now in a place where I am today, like people can't afford me to coach them. They can't pay me enough money for them to coach me right now.
Yeah.
For me to coach them. That's just how it is.
That's the problem.
That's just where I am in business. Sure. And that's how I value my time. You can't pay me enough money for me to coach you. However, if I see somebody that is hungry, somebody that resembles where I was at,
yeah.
I'm going to be that mentor to the person that I didn't have.
Yeah.
And we ain't going to need a lot of time to get to the facts. We're not going to need a lot of time to identify where your issues are. We're not going to need a lot of time to get you a game plan. Yeah. I'm not going to put you on a 6-month coaching plan. But if I met with you for 60 minutes, 30 to 60 minutes, you're going to leave out of that. We're going to have it figured out. Because I don't need your money for 6 months. And I tell them, you can't pay me enough money to make it worth my while. You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
God has blessed me. And mm-hmm. I feel obligated to give it away. So like this, it's funny. I made a phone call the other day. I'm like, to this person, I'm like, I just feel this inner need that I need to give some information away. I need to start a luncheon again. And I need to give this information to this sector or group of people. Mm-hmm. And she's like blown away by that. Like, wow. I'm like, yeah. And I don't want anything from it. You're a coach. I'm going to use and leverage everything that I have to help somebody else, and you can go and further the coaching for them. That helps me. Like that's priceless for me. People couldn't pay me enough money for me to feel good about that. I feel good about being able to give away something that I know is unique for me. Like you listening to me and said, dude, you got some conviction in your voice.
Yeah.
People have told me, I've spoken to crowds of 800s and thousands of people, and I get the same thing.
Yeah.
And now it's my choice to say, am I going to leverage that and charge money for it? Or am I going to give it away?
Do you think that people that what do you think about the coaching industry in general? Okay, there's a lot of different coaches. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's life coaches, there's business coaches, there's fitness coaches, there's a million different things. There's a coach for exactly what I'm doing right here, mm-hmm. podcasts. You know, mm-hmm. What do you think about the coaching industry? I mean, sure, instruction, there is a market for it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, school is coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you pay for school. But I'm wondering what you think about the social media stuff and all this stuff happening right now, because coaching is a big thing, and there's people getting tons of money doing it by leveraging the internet, essentially, mm-hmm. and giving away a small part of what they know for a large amounts of money.
So I don't have
it's not a good question.
No, it's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be very like.
Yeah. Because it's broad.
It is.
You don't want to paint with the broad brush.
Because we have to identify what coaching is. Coaching is, at the end of the day, it's helping people create shortcuts to get where they want to go.
That's right.
I mean, it's really what it is.
That's good.
You can say, well, we're going to be in a year process, dude. Well, I've been on a 20-year process and still on that ride, in that journey.
Yeah.
And also, on the other side of coach, so I believe that there's a lot of positive to that, that people that want the microwave effect. Our economy, our world, our environment, our country is built upon how fast can I get there?
Yeah.
It's like created this buzz for us. It's like, I want to try to, if I want to be, you know, rich, I gotta have a big social media platform, or I got to do this and I got to do this. And people will try to do and take all of these shortcuts.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much a coach coaches you, they're going to give you great information.
Sure.
But you still got to apply it.
Yeah, sure.
And who you are and applying that strategy is what's most important. So if you don't do the mind work, if you don't do the work, the internal work, then the coaching really is insignificant. I coach tons of people.
Yeah.
That was successful, but it fell apart because internally they weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
They didn't do the work. They didn't do the discovery. So That's the positives of coaching. Coaching is great. I mean, I don't have this opinion. Like,
wrong with coaching.
There's nothing wrong with coaching.
No, no.
You know? But on the other hand, there's people that are coaching. There's these bad actors and bad characters that people can identify, and they're coaching on things that they've learned from the internet that they've not done themselves.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me.
That's the problem. And so, just like in any industry, you're going to get a bunch of characters in there.
Sure.
That are going to get in there, and they're going to figure out a way how to make money on people that are gullible and don't know.
They're going to do their thing.
And so, I'll just tell you, it's like coaching to me is like you look at a coach like you look at your pastor. Mm-hmm. You don't turn your discernment off.
Yeah.
Because your pastor's telling you what to do and all these other things. You still got to discern because God's your premium being. Same thing in coaching. Like, you don't turn your discernment off because this guy or woman is the perceived guru of that area. So I'm going to listen to everything they got to say, and then you get taken.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing. It's like, you still got to discern. You still got to listen to your gut. If you want to pay for something to get a shortcut, awesome. But don't turn your discernment off and don't turn your gut off because of somebody that is a guru that hijacked internet material.
Yeah.
And it's helping you be successful from information that you can learn yourself.
Yeah. 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 I think it says a lot about you that you said that. You said that when you were getting paid for coaching, you didn't feel good about it. That, I think that says more about you, in my opinion, from this interaction than anything you said. Is that interesting to you?
Yeah. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm very sensitive to that stuff, you know, me personally. Yeah. Because I do have a thing, you know, I try to live that in everything that I'm doing. Like, you know, I'm at a place now where I could do some stuff like that. I mean, not for podcasts. I'm very new to that. I don't know what I'm doing with this stuff. But with other things, I certainly could. But, I mean, I just, to be honest with you, I'm scared to do something like that when I don't feel 100% convicted. Like, I don't have the exact recipe for success for other people. I just couldn't do that. Yeah. I just don't think I can.
It's hard.
You know what I mean? I couldn't tell somebody how to, you know, run a, you know, 7-figure law firm when I haven't done it myself.
That's right.
You know, I just cannot do it. I'm like, there is a CMU brick wall for me personally. Can't do it.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
I don't know. And not a lot of people are like that. I don't know. It's just something. But you saying that means we're kind of similar there.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
But on the other sense, you know, like, it's like a football coach.
Yeah.
A lot of football coaches were not really good players.
That's true. That's true.
But they were very good observers, and they had a fundamental understanding of the game.
Yeah.
And they identified that gift.
Yeah.
And they're applying that gift, and they were successful with that.
There's one big difference in that case, I would say, is that those guys can't go enroll themselves back in high school and play that game.
That's right.
And they're too old, and they're not going to compete at the same level. Mm-hmm. I'm neither of those things in this case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you're right, 100%.
Yeah.
But I identify those differences.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Interesting, man. Let's see. We got the pivotal moment at 27. Get your big decision to burn the ships. When you were about 22, 23 years old, right after the birth of your second child, the decision to get into business in the first place, you know, we're kind of going backwards, when you were still working at a dealership, trying to make things happen, figuring out that being a proprietor yourself outside of a W-2 relationship with your employer is something that you're called to do and that you need to do. These are big decisions that I perceive you've made, you know. 27, you made the change to really rewrite the blueprint of your life. You said you got rocked at Tony Robbins. So what has happened since then? You know, has it just been a progression for you?
It's like doubled up in size.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's just
your,
like,
business.
Yeah.
You, like, yeah. What, everything?
It just, everything just massively doubled in size.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like this huge snowball effect. You know, when I after I was done with Tony Robbins, I started doing a lot of speaking. People started just like asking me to speak schools, and I mean, just all over the place. Come speak to my executive team. Come speak to my leadership team. Come share your story here. Come.
Yeah.
So I started doing a lot of that, and so really start hearing from people, you know, who I am and how I relate to them, or how what I said changed their lives.
Yeah.
And then, so I thought I needed to go down this path of, you know, conferences. And so I started doing some conferences and start doing that type of stuff. And I absolutely loved it, you know. But at the same time, I love business, you know. So I was like, here I am getting to this place again. I need to start choosing what it is that I need to be doing. So I really was like, I need to focus again on things I need to focus on. And so after I had this aha moment, I'm like, okay, I feel like I got this fresh start. How can I apply that into my business that I already have? And so I really start developing just more techniques, more ideas. My routine was solid. I just continued doing those things. And it was like, there was not like these major things that I did differently. It was like, I knew that what I was doing, I need to continue to do.
Okay. I thought one of the cameras went off. Yeah. Yeah, continue. Sorry about that.
And so, and I just kept, so I kept doing the same routines. I kept pouring into it. I kept sharing my story. I kept giving things away. And from that, mm-hmm. I was attracting new opportunities, new possibilities. And so now I sit here today where people mainly approach me to buy their companies.
Yeah.
It's the other way around now. It's not me pursuing them. It's I have a good relationship with brokers. They understand that I can perform, that I will perform, that I got a great group of people that believe in me and follow me and that believe in our vision and believe in things that we're doing because I became clear about what it is that was important for me and shoring up my self-worth and shoring up things that I had doubts in and then applying those things. And that start changing different scenarios for me in my life. And so how I sit here and I sit like there's some things that I ultimately want that are left on my goal sheet or sheets that I want that I'm not I don't know if I'm ever going to have. Like,
yeah.
Now that I'm like kind of here, I'm like, I don't really need that or want that. I don't want the attention that would draw.
Yeah.
So I find myself wanting to fly more under the radar than ever. Like
because you're probably just valuing privacy, you know, mm-hmm. and living the person that you want to live without having to prove it to the world, maybe.
It's just not as important. And the more I look at social media and I see the more people are portraying those things, I'm like, in a way that they have to do that for their business and what they're doing, but it just is a turnoff for me. I don't want people to look at me for what I have. I want people to look at me for what they can be inspired by. Through the things that I've learned and the journey that I'm still on and continuing to grow on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want for people. And so it's just kind of that whole change for me where it's like me trying to grow all of these businesses and be the best businessman out there changed to after 27, like, how can I continue down this path that I can give more things away?
Yeah.
And I thought I had to do it through the means of conferences and podcasts and all these different things. Well, really, it's like, I'm just sharing my story with people without any pressure of needing to be to charge because my business and who I've done that with in my company believe in that and are doing great things and the companies are growing. I can share with people without any pressure.
Yeah.
I can share with people with just simply what I've learned and how I've grown. And if that helps you, excellent. If it doesn't and it has not hit home yet, that's good too. At least a seed was planted. And I don't need the pressure of that. And I love that. I love being in that position. So it changed from being the best businessman to I just want to be the best guy. The best Nate I can possibly be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Nate can now inspire other people without
You
know, without any limitations.
Yeah. That's incredible, man. That's incredible. I don't know how long we've been doing this. Let's see. How long you think? I don't know, maybe. Huh?
Oh, yeah, we've been locked in.
I lock in, man. I lock in. We usually go an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of, you know, wrap it up at the end, what I've been doing, my usual MO the last few takes has been I asked the guest to look into their camera here, this one here to my left, and kind of just imagine somebody on the other side of that camera who is dealing with an insurmountable challenge in their life. And unlike maybe you at that point in your life where you had that instinct to burn that ship and you knew, you know, this person may not have that skill, that confidence, that self-worth, whatever it may be, right? They may not have that. And, man, they are they're dealing with that challenge. And what I ask a guest to do is, you know, give them advice.
Excellent.
You know what I'm saying? Tell them what they need to hear to get through the situation. In their mind, it's destined for failure. They're not going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to get through it, whether it's hardship, whether it's loss, whether it's, you know, business. Maybe it's a young entrepreneur. It could be anything. And I want to see what you would tell that person. What do you think? Go ahead.
You're ready.
Yeah. I'll take a nap over here. Give them what you think, man. I think yours is going to be good.
Oh yeah. It's going to be good stuff. Here.
Because this is very important. I mean, I joke about it, but there could be somebody out there watching it who really needs this piece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would tell myself this. It's that there's a lot of things in life that you can't control. You just can't do it. You can't control it. And the trap is that we focus all of our attention on things that we cannot control. And so what happens is that those things play in your mind. Those things play in there rent-free. And so, and all they do is crack who you think you are, what your worth is, and also your vision forward becomes super cloudy. So one of the best things I can tell you is that to really focus and identify on the things that you can control. You can control of how you show up and wake up every day. You can control how you interact with people every single day. You can control what type of effort you're going to give every single day. You can control exactly how you want to dress and how you want to be perceived every single day. Those are the things that you can control. And it's those things that create new opportunities, that attract new opportunities, that change any situation, is how you decide to show up and what decision you decide to make every single day. And that is something that we can do. That's the power that you have. And I also like to say, it's like, whatever happens forward, you're worthy of whatever happens. So the positives, you're worthy of that. The things that, that inner responsibility, that inner thing that's tugging at your heart, you're worthy for that. You're worthy of that. Those are things that you can possess. Those are things that are unique to you and not to everybody else. So pursue those things, listen to those things, but focus on the things that you can do every single day and apply yourself every single day. Give yourself a day. That's all you got. You got nothing outside of a day. Nobody's promised the next minute. So what you have right now is all you got, which is right now. And what you have is all you need for you going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true, man. So interesting to hear people's responses. And that's that, you hit it right there. Like it is about like what you can control. Cause at the end of the day, all of these thoughts, all these emotions that you're dealing with, all these things you're thinking about outside of your world, you know, they don't affect what you can actually do in life. You know what I mean? You only have one body, you got one mind, you got one heart, you got one soul. And there's only so much you can control. And it's really not that much.
It's not.
Right? I mean, you can control how you show up. You know, you may feel like crap and you have to lie to yourself and put a smile on and look at yourself in the mirror, but you know, you can put that smile on. You can make that happen, you know? That's great advice. That's great advice. And I'll tell you this, before we end everything, like, I feel throughout this conversation here, just so everyone knows, because they're not feeling this necessarily, they're not here today, I feel something with you. You know, I feel a little bit different, you know? I feel your energy is very unique, you know? And it's positive, and it's very good.
Appreciate
it. And I feel that, just so you know, because not everybody makes me feel that way, you know, but I do, and I believe it, and I believe what you're saying, and like we talked about, you do have conviction, and it was a special discussion, so I appreciate it.
It's a great time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in to the One Big Head Game podcast. Bo Killingsworth again. I'm going to link in the description, you know, whatever Nate wants us to link with his businesses. Maybe you want to check out what he's doing a little bit further, maybe his social media profiles. Whatever he wants, I'm going to put it on there, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye, guys.